Mr. Jacoia.
Good morning. May it please the court. I represent Mark Janowski on this appeal, and in the district court, what Mr. Janowski alleged was a equal protection class of one claim and a substantive due process violation. And factually, Mr. Janowski alleged that over a period of about 14 months, he received a numerous number of tickets from certain city of Chicago police officers, all of which were without probable cause and actually were with complete fabrications. He initially took his complaint, tried to go internally, making internal complaints with the city of Chicago. Nothing happened. Ultimately, a lawsuit was filed.
Is there some kind of police review board that's outside of the police department?
I'm not an expert, but my understanding is that there was an internal affairs investigation in this case, and there was a recommendation for termination of some of the officers. I believe that can be appealed to the police board, which is the posture of the case right now.
Have you seen that file yet?
No,
the internal affairs file?
No, we have not. I believe we saw parts of it early, but it's become more substantial in the recent recommendations of termination all happen post-judgment in the district court.
So my question for you is how important or perhaps how not important it is. What's the importance level of the reason behind all of these tickets? I mean, Mr. Janowski is getting all these rather strange tickets, sequentially numbered, doesn't even own the car anymore, all kinds of things. And is it enough for him simply to bring a class of one suit saying, I'm being harassed by the police department for reasons that I can't fathom? Or is it important for him to link it to his ex-wife or link it to, you know, something?
Well, I believe, as Judge Posner discussed in his concurrence in the Bell decision, there is an open question about that, and these class of one cases are various. In this case, I don't think it's important at all that I don't think he should be required to make that link and allege that animus, you know, based upon the wife. It just so happens he has a suspicion on what the motive was. But I also think that given the nature of this conduct of giving this many tickets and just the nature of it, it can be inferred there has to be a finder.
Had he had any prior dealings with any of these officers?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
So it's really the wife, yeah.
So is it somewhere between 3 and 24 the line was crossed here? Seriously, I mean, look, this is a case that's sort of easy to chuckle at, frankly. But on the other hand, you got to worry about kind of low-grade retaliation or animus expressed or hostility by a local government like this. On the other hand, we've got to worry about, frankly, turning every parking ticket into a federal case. So help us on this.
Of course. Well, after doing a lot of research and preparing the briefs and preparing for argument, there's not too many or very few, if any, cases like this where it's a parking ticket is brought to federal court and making a federal case. And it's not the parking ticket. It's really the extreme of giving them tickets in parts of the city that are bad neighborhoods where people don't park, the possibility of it, and just
it's a harassment case. It's very much like some cases of sexual harassment where the first grope, you know, may not actually state a claim, but if a low-level harassing pattern exists, there comes a time that there is, in fact, a case for harassment.
I think that's a perfect analogy, but this is a class of one case. And as
no, I understand it's not a 7-7 case, but I'm just saying that thinking a little bit more broadly, we've seen things where, I mean, the first parking ticket, there's an easy answer. The police wrote the ticket because they thought he was parked illegally, you know, and so there's a rational basis, if you will, for writing the ticket. 24 tickets over, you know, doesn't look the same when the other facts that you've pleaded are in there. If it was just 24 parking tickets, I'm sure the city of Chicago would be happy to tell us that it has individuals who have accumulated far more than that in the way of tickets. So it's the nature of these tickets is what.
Is there any suggestion that this might have been some computer glitch? That once the first ticket is issued, all the rest comes spinning out and there's nothing to stop it? Has this ever been suggested as a...
Not in any way, shape, or form. This is not a computer glitch issue. I see the light is on. I'll reserve.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we'll hear from the city. Mr. Nornberg?
Good morning, Your Honors. May I please the court?
So I have a question for you, Mr. Nornberg. Taking the facts as Mr. Janoski alleges them to be, can you articulate for me a rational basis for the city of Chicago to have issued these 24 tickets?
No, I cannot, Your Honor.
So you would concede that this is an utterly he's described an utterly arbitrary, not even sustainable by a rational basis.
Yes, we would.
So how do you think it happened?
It's unclear from the record exactly how it happened.
So how do you think it happened?
How do I personally think it happened? Well, I hate to say taking the allegations as true. It looks like what happened.
You need to doubt them.
We certainly do not at this stage.
Well, this is the best class of one case I've ever seen.
If I could explain why it actually is not the best class of one case you've ever seen?
I hope you will be able to, sure.
The Equal Protection Clause... I will step right up to the plate. The Equal Protection Clause, Your Honor, protects against discrimination. This is not a discrimination case.
But you think there are other people getting these tickets?
One of the things you say in your brief is that he didn't put in evidence about other people
ridiculous.
This wasn't happening to. We could take a poll of the people in this courtroom. Other people aren't getting 24 tickets sequentially numbered by the police because the ex-wife is after them. You know, there are tons of people who fully deserve the parking tickets they get, or they just never get parking tickets. So we know he's being treated differently. He's alleged, as Village of Willowbrook against Oleg talks about, he's alleged, as many of our cases have discussed, differential treatment from the rest of the population.
He actually, from our perspective, is not Judge Wooden, if I could explain why. What he has alleged is that he was singled out and granted in the Equal Protection Class of 1 cases.
There's never been a case like this before, has there?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
So that's singling out.
However, there have been countless state...
A million people here, and they're getting tickets by the carload. And none of them have ever complained that this happened to them.
He was singled out, taking the allegation...
Paragraph 110, count 1, defendant officers intentionally treated plaintiff differently than others similarly situated. Paragraph 111, there was no rational basis for the difference in treatment. Just as a matter of allegation, I don't see how you can back off from the Oleg idea that here he is in his class of one and here's everybody else, treated plaintiff differently than others similarly situated.
The nature of the singling out in this case was in the nature of an intentional tort. He was victimized by the defendants. He was not discriminated against by the defendants.
Well, but you're saying those are mutually exclusive, and there are plenty of equal protection claims that could also be brought as tort suits under state law. And indeed, it's very common to see a few counts thrown in under the supplemental jurisdiction doing just that. So I'm not sure that's enough.
It's not enough, but there are also claims, and we submit that this is one, that satisfy only the standard to constitute state intentional tort claims and not equal protection claims.
What would have had to happen here for this to be a class of one case?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer because, by its nature, what happened here doesn't lend itself to the type of analysis that the Equal Protection Clause is meant to...
I don't understand. Give me what you regard as a valid class of one case. Maybe you don't think there are any, but...
I actually think that Haynes and Hilton, for example, are perfect examples of what class of one is meant to...
Give facts, not cases. I don't remember.
Well, I will give the facts, and I will admit they're derived from those cases. Two neighbors...
I don't care where they come from. You can make them up if you want.
All right. Two neighbors constantly at each other's throats, calling the police consistently. The police come, and the police consistently only enforce the law against one of those neighbors. Then you have a situation where it is irrational... that the person
well,
is being targeted.
What's different here? Here, of course, they're not actually enforcing the law. They're enforcing something else against one person. They're harassing this person, presumably because of the wife. Whatever. But the cause doesn't matter. This is singly. This is the government bringing its powers to bear on one person. Absolutely no justification. It's funny in a way. I mean, he goes to traffic court. It's squelched. What I don't understand, why do you even defend a case like this? Why don't you make it settle? The damages are modest, right? So he made these gratuitous trips to get the ticket squad. He didn't pay anything on the tickets. There was annoyance, maybe anxiety, you know. So some damages. But why you want to defend a case like this in an appellate court?
I think, I often think settlement is a good idea in this case.
Not the city of Chicago. Apparently it doesn't like to settle cases.
The city
doesn't have any money, so it doesn't settle.
That's a fair point, Your Honor. However, the city does settle a number of cases, and there have been settlement discussions in this case. But getting back to the legal issue, I'd love to take the opportunity this morning to
settlement discussions in this case?
There were settlement discussions in this case. There have been settlement discussions. Not extensive, but there have been some. Now, what I'd like to say, and the point I really would like to leave the court with this morning, and I sense the uphill, but I'd like to leave the court with the point that if this case constitutes a legitimate equal protection claim, then every single intentional tort case under state law could be cabined, reconstituted as an equal protection claim. Because what you have here is a situation where there is not a distinction being drawn between Mr. Janowski and any other reasonably construed, similarly situated folks. It's him and everybody else in the world. Every single intentional tort where someone, if a police officer walks up to you on the street and simply assaults you, hits you on the head with his nightstick.
That's not true at all, right? Because you've got here not one incident. You've got this long-term pattern, right? Isn't that an easy basis to hold back the floodgates, hold back the flood you're threatening us with?
The intentional tort in this case would be malicious prosecution. And the reason it would be malicious prosecution is because under Illinois state law, this sort of extended... Even though being forced to defend yourself in one particular case is not sufficient to satisfy the special damages, being forced to defend yourself in a series of cases like this culminates in special damages and gives you an actual malicious prosecution claim.
Okay, so you got a series of. How often does that happen?
How often? How many malicious prosecution claims have there been?
Where you have somebody who is repeatedly prosecuted by the government without. I haven't heard about so many that I would worry about about the risk of being flooded with federal litigation. It sounds like those folks ought to be able to come to court.
But the reason this should not be allowed to proceed as an equal protection claim is that because it is, in the aggregate, the behavior of the defendants that is alleged in the complaint is arbitrary and is inappropriate. However, it is not conscious shocking, just to look, lean for a moment into the due process context. And if you allow this sort of behavior
don't spill due process over into this. I think it's fine. No one's been talking about substantive due process, and that's fine with me. So there's no conscience shocking aspect to the equal protection claim.
Were this allowed to proceed as an equal protection claim, however, you would never need to bring...
The example you gave, which you approved of as a legitimate class of one, it's the quarrel between the neighbors and the police consistently side with one of the neighbors, right?
Right.
Well, that's the element of repetition that Judge Hamilton mentioned. It makes it a harassment rather than just an isolated incident. You've singled out somebody. It's not that you hit the wrong person with your taser or something like that. It's that you singled out a particular person and decided to harass him in a way that you don't treat anybody else like that. So that he becomes this. He's just lucky that it stopped at. How? What, 24 tickets, was it?
It was 24.
After he sold his car.
So, it's been going on forever, right?
The city is seeking to fire how many of the officers involved in this?
I believe that there are four people who have been recommended for termination, and their proceedings are
based on these incidents?
Yes, that's my understanding of the record. Okay. Now, if I could just... The last thing I would ask the court is to think about the effect of allowing this equal protection claim to proceed on equal protection claims going forward, that this is not a case of discriminatory treatment. It is a case...
You haven't distinguished it from the case that Hilton or Haynes, whichever it was, the one you approved. You haven't distinguished it.
I mean, those are good arguments why no class of one cases should be recognized, but we're way past that point at this point. So.
Well, all I can do at this point is ask the court to read the briefs and consider the arguments and to affirm the judgment of the district court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Norgren. Mr. Jakowiak, do you have anything further?
In addition to the class of one, we do have a substantive due process claim.
I think that's not going anywhere. And actually, remember the principle. I mean, you wouldn't ever turn to substantive due process if there were a more particular constitutional theory that addressed your claim. Otherwise, you know, we'd only see one kind of theory ever being brought in constitutional cases.
Shifting back to class of one.
Shifting back.
I would simply say that we have a constitution for a reason and for many reasons, and one of the reasons is for this exact to prevent this exact type of conduct and abuse of power by government officials.
So I have a question for you, though. One of the arguments that the city makes relates to the statute of limitations and the fact that some of the officers issued tickets for time periods that are outside the limitations period. I forget the names offhand, but there are a few people. So what about them? Are they entitled to dismissal? In other words, affirmance in part.
We also have on the statute of limitations issue, the issue was a factual one as far as what tickets could be a basis for the claim.
Right. It was 2 years before March 2011, and that still left a substantial number of tickets. And, of course, you can look at the others for the pattern purpose. But I'm concerned now about the defendants who wrote the earlier tickets.
Sure. The initial complaint was filed on March 3rd of 2010, and it's our position that that this was a conspiracy. It was an agreement. We have
so
a conspiracy count.
If we buy the conspiracy.
Right. There was an agreement amongst all of them to give him tickets, and they were still in on the conspiracy. The agreement even beyond the two-year date.
That it?
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Well, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case.